Hey, beautiful soul. Welcome to Spirit Speakeasy. I'm Joy Giovanni, Joyful Medium. I'm a working psychic medium, energy healer, and spiritual gifts mentor. This podcast is like a seat at the table in a secret club, but with mediums, mystics, and the spiritual luminaries of our time. So come behind the velvet ropes with me and see inside my world as I chat insider style with profoundly gifted souls. We go deep, share juicy stories, laugh a lot, and it wouldn't be a speakeasy without great insider secrets and tips. You might even learn that you have some gifts of your own. So step inside the Spirit Speakeasy. We are back with another episode of Spirit Speakeasy. If you are a returning friend, welcome in. Pull up your seat at the table. If you are a new listener, I'm so happy to have you with us today. You are in for a wonderful conversation with a beautiful soul. Today, we are going to talk to my friend and colleague, Carol Ann Dickinson. I'm so excited for you to hear her story and her journey. You know, we talk about this here a lot, that all spiritual practitioners, whether it's mediums, psychics, spiritual luminaries of our time, our journeys are all a little bit different, even though they do have some similarities. Carol Ann is no different. From experiencing spirit in her youth to her journey to become the best-selling author and medium, teacher, licensed associate counselor that she is today. She even shares some about her journey in her military career and her career as a radio producer. She has so much to share. And if you're someone that feels like you've been feeling it pressed upon your heart or inspired to write a book, whether it's fiction or nonfiction, make sure that you stay tuned because about two-thirds of the way through, we dive into talking about some of the books that Carol Ann has written. Remember, she's a best-selling author. So she gives us some really amazing advice for anyone who feels like you have a story to tell that's within you that you're wanting to put into a book. So without further ado, welcome to my conversation with Carol Ann Dickinson. Hey, beautiful souls. Welcome into Spirit Speakeasy. Grab yourself a drink, warm or cool, depending where you are. You are not going to miss this conversation with my friend and colleague, Carol Ann Dickinson. I'm going to read her bio so we can just jump into this conversation. Carol Ann Dickinson is a psychic medium, best-selling author, teacher, and licensed associate counselor. Carol Ann's journey to becoming a medium was her journey of 1,000 miles. That journey took her down the road as a veteran, a radio producer, a writer, a life coach. She did everything she could not to be a medium. Today, yes, as a professional medium, she believes there's no difference between the ability to connect with your soul, psychic, or with the ability to connect with someone in the spirit world, mediumship. Each kind of communication helps you differently depending on your soul's needs, and Carol Ann allows spirit to lead the way in her private readings. As a counselor, Carol Ann specializes in trauma and believes the foundational principle that healing from trauma is possible. Whatever path you choose, the goal is always about living the life you want and addressing anything getting in the way. When she's not working, writing, or teaching class, you'll find her in a yoga class, walking and talking with the archangels and spirit, and engaging in the adventure of life. Welcome in, Carol Ann.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. And I will let everyone in on our little secret. This is our round two of recording. We made an attempt within the last couple of weeks and the internet mojo was not on our side. And we had so many tech glitches that after about an hour, we gave up and just had a chat. So we're back again today. I'm so grateful to you for giving us the time again.
Thank you.
I would love to hear about, you have such a varied background. I would love to hear a little bit more about your journey of 10,000 miles. Would you share a little bit with us?
Well, I think that I didn't know what I wanted to be when I grew up ever. And I think I'm still kind of like that sort of in a way. So I really didn't know when I was younger what I wanted to do. I just know that I wanted to, number one, get away from the craziness that was my life. And so I joined the military, ran away from home. Wow. That's pretty much what it was. And I loved being in the military. It was an adventure. I did a whole bunch of things I never thought I was going to do or was capable of doing either.
Wow.
We had to be so very physical, and I just never saw that in myself. And I had a lot of adventures in the military, going to a lot of places, culture shock wise as well. Growing up in a very small town, there's a flashing red light in the middle of the town that I grew up in. That's the only stop signals they have there.
Wow.
So to go from there to a place like the Philippines or Guam or Japan, it was just it was a culture shock, and it was an amazing education.
I can imagine. Well, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
In San Diego, we're a military town where I live, so I always appreciate all of our men and women in service. What branch were you in?
I was in the Air Force.
Awesome.
And I was so anxious to get out of where I was. I just signed on the dotted line and said, put me wherever you want to put me career-wise.
Wow.
And so I ended up in a weapons control supervisor job, which means that in air traffic control, they try to keep airplanes apart. And weapons control, they put them together so that our guys can find the bad guys, much like you see in Top Gun.
Wow.
So it was kind of, that's where I ended up. And I did that job in a control room, which didn't have any windows. And I've also done that job in sort of a forward air control command post in like a bubble situation living on the ground.
So, oh my goodness. Look at you, Carol Ann. That's quite an interesting start to your adult career life.
It was very interesting, and it was very exciting, and I really loved my career in the military. I did.
That's amazing. I'm sure that you could write so many books just about the adventures you had in the military.
It was very exciting. You know that scene, and I do want to share this with you, the scene in Top Gun where the planes are upside down, mm-hmm. and he's giving them the, you know what, the bird?
Yep.
So I actually have a picture of an F-15 and a MiG that was shot by the pilot of the F-16 when we were controlling that specific aircraft.
Okay.
And they were shooing like a spy plane out of the area.
Wow.
So it was.
That's amazing. It's, you know, as mediums, I think it's never ceases to amaze us the pasts and lives and histories that people have. So I'm both surprised and not at all, just because I know what an amazing and colorful woman you are. So,
well, thank you. I appreciate that. It was a great experience, and it taught me a lot about independence. It taught me a lot about service, and it was like, I can't say it enough. It was an adventure.
This is maybe a strange question, but looking back, can you identify ways that you were using your own intuition when you were in your service position?
Well, because when I talked about being a reluctant medium, I really was. That was one of the things that I was running away from, was being a medium. And when I was in the military, I had this teacher. My mother found out that I was a medium through a very weird way. And she took me to someone to get me to quit doing it. So that was my introduction to mediumship, as like 15, 16. So he did teach me, that particular gentleman did teach me how to kind of block spirit. It never really does.
Just to kind of turn it down a little bit, maybe.
Turn down the volume a little bit. And so I did my very, very best to ignore it. But when I was in the military, I can tell you that there were so many times where I just trusted my intuition, and it kept me safe.
Hey, beautiful soul, I want to hear from you. Give me a call on my new Spirit Speakeasy hotline and tell me the story of your sign or communication that you received from your own loved one in the spirit world, and you might even be featured on an upcoming episode of Spirit Speakeasy. Call me now, area code 305-928-LOVE. That's 305-928-5683. 305-928-LOVE. I hope to hear from you soon.
Wow. That's, I feel like I can talk to you for 2 hours just about that. Okay. I want to back up a little bit because what you just mentioned is that you were really sensing spirit when you were about 15. Is that when your spiritual gifts presented to you, or was it much younger than that even?
It was much younger than that because I was, I have this really neat story about my great grandmother. My great grandmother, I have this odd memory of my great grandmother taking me somewhere where there was a little room and there was a very strange lady in the room. And I think it was about 5 or 6. Okay. And there were dark curtains in there and there was this little table. So that's pretty much all that I knew about it. But as I got older and I was talking to my mother, I said, did great grandma ever take me to have my cards read when I was little? And she said she did. She went to take you to go see someone. And I said, why? She said she never did tell me why.
Oh, my gosh. I just got chills all over. She probably was like, this one's got the gift. We got to see what we could do about her.
It was a very strange memory. And I didn't even ask my mother about it until I was like in my 40s. And it just kind of was this weird memory that kind of stuck in there. And I never did ask my grandmother about it either, which I was thought was really strange. But of course, then again, we didn't talk about much when we were growing up.
Well, I think it's a generational thing, right? Were your grandmas very spiritual women?
I think my grandmother was in her way. This would be my great grandmother. Yeah. So I was lucky to have my great grandmother until I was like 20.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. And she was definitely different, but she would have talked about things like in the very Christian way of like, you know, God has laid it on my heart to tell you this.
Yes.
Those kinds of things. And that's how my great grandmother would say her intuitive things to me.
Wow, that's so interesting. And what a special thing that she learned how to kind of package it that way. So she, I don't know, I always feel like some of us are hiding it a lot in our regular lives growing up. So
I think so too. And then for me, I wasn't aware of it consciously until I was about 10.
Okay.
And I was out riding bikes with my sister and I saw a little kid in the desert and I said, oh my gosh, we got to go get that little kid. He's lost. And my sister and my friend said, what are you talking about? There is no one there.
Oh my gosh.
So I had this, for some reason we go there. Oh, there must be something wrong with me. Nobody else is seeing what I'm seeing instead of, oh, this is a miracle.
Well, I mean, and that's the curious thing is a lot of us, like, that's the first reaction is like, okay, we're just not going to talk about that because clearly no one else is seeing that. But that's the first time you remember seeing someone outside of yourself.
Yes. Wow. Yes. And it didn't happen a lot to me when I was younger, but I did hear a lot of things. And then I think I had some fear in there get mixed in with some of that because we weren't talking about it.
Totally.
And then when I was about 16, I was standing next to the window when my mother was there and I saw this energy coming off the tree and I didn't know what it was. And I said to her, what is that stuff coming off the tree? And that's about the time she decided me to take me to this old time spiritualist who scared the bejesus out of me.
Wow.
And, tried to teach me how not to do it.
What's so interesting is your mom must have had some level of understanding or experience to even, you know what I mean, to even think to put those two things together and say like, oh, hold on, this is something. So that's kind of fascinating. Like, how'd she know that guy even? Do you know what I mean? There's no Google back then.
I know. And it's really interesting because it wasn't, again, until we were later in life that she was told me that the reason that she did that is because she always felt so much from other people, whether they were in the room or not. And she was trying to protect me. That was her way of trying to protect me from feeling all of that stuff.
Wow. Well, first of all, kudos to both of you for having that conversation later. I know a lot of people never do get to have those conversations, but it must have really changed the perspective for you that she was doing it not out of not accepting you, but more out of wanting to keep you safe from all of her, I guess, empathic abilities was what she was probably having.
I'm pretty sure. And she was really scary when I was growing up because she always seemed to be able to find me It was weird.
That's funny.
She found me one night when a friend of mine had a car accident, and they were afraid that I had been in the car with her. I wasn't, but I was at a party. I don't know how she found me, but she found me.
Wow. that's a whole nother book, Psychic Moms and How to Protect Your Kids, I guess, right?
It was hilarious. Yeah.
That's great. Wow. I bet once she became an adult, she shared lots of stories with you about things she knew or thought or sensed. That's pretty incredible.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. So no wonder you have always had such a strong intuition and figured out how to trust it.
Well, but I didn't though, because my mom and I never had that conversation until the end of her life. She passed relatively young. And when I was taking care of her that we had all of these conversations. Yeah.
Wow. That's such a beautiful time that you were able to have with her. That's so incredible.
Yeah, it really was. She was a force to be reckoned with, as you know, because you've read her before.
I have met your mom in spirit many times, and she is such a strong and beautiful lady with just a firecracker sense of humor. I have to say, she's no wallflower, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Man, that's amazing. And it seems like, you know, in that time you would have been able to just really have all the conversations you wanted to have with her, which is so powerful. Did you end up did you know about your mediumship gifts at that point? Had you come back into them? Did you share with her a little bit more about it?
I did. And we did have lots of conversations about it because she grew up back in the day when, even until like a month before we had these conversations, she was still kind of believing in possession. So we had to have some really serious conversations about that because I was studying with someone back then. And she was like, oh my gosh, I'm so afraid you were going to be possessed. I'm like, Mom, it doesn't work that way.
Well, it's that religious fear programming problem.
Yes, right? Yeah. It is. Yeah, it is.
So how did you, when you transitioned out of the military, I'm sure you weren't jumping from military work right into psychic medium work. You obviously did some things in between. How did you make that transition or that journey back to your gifts?
When the time that I got out of the military, that was when talk radio was at its finest heyday. Right.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to internship to learn how to be a radio producer. And I did that. And my talent was Levita Delman of Ask Levita, a psychic radio talk show host.
That is what you did?
Yes.
Shut up. Carol Ann, I just have learned so much about you. I love this.
I loved it so much. I loved working with Levita, and she ended up becoming my next teacher who tried to unravel and tried to untwist all those old teachings for me. And it became a very normal kind of part of my life. But it still took me a very long time to get over the fear of doing it because of all of the old religious teachings. But that was my connection to radio, and that was my start of my mediumship journey was with her.
So that was like a call in, like would guests call in and ask their questions. Wow. That's wrote in at the time too. So
yeah, it was old time calling in on the phone and recording it. And we did that. I think we had her show for something like 2 years.
Oh man, that's a long time.
It is a long time. Yeah.
That's so cool. So then she started working with you, kind of mentoring you privately and advising, I guess, probably the best way to say it.
She did. And she was also a reverend in the Church of Religious Science. And I started taking healing classes back then, practitioner, science of mind practitioner courses. So I started to take that. And that was about the time that my mom got sick. So I had to step away from things and take care of mom.
Wow. Yep. It makes sense. Of course, that's what you're going to do. I forgot that one of your windows in was healing. I had forgotten that. I know we just talked about it not that long ago, but I forgot about it already.
Yeah.
So when you were caring for your mom, is that when you did your Reiki certificate or was it after that?
When I was caring for my mom, I think is when, if I ever had a doubt about mediumship and if it was real, when I was caring for my mother is when I found out that without a shadow of a doubt, my mediumship was real and that I was being guided and directed every second of every day.
How did you figure that out?
Because I was getting messages from spirit the whole time I was working with my mom.
Wow. And was it like did you at that point know who the messages were from and all of that? Or were you still working that out?
I was still working that out. I just knew that something amazing and miraculous was happening because I was asking for help. And again, it's like sometimes when you ask for help, you don't expect to get an answer, an audible answer or a visual answer, and you do. But I think it was just because of this was such a important time in my mom's life that spirit really came through. One day I was sitting at the edge of her bed and I was just sending her healing. And I didn't even know if I knew what I was doing, but I was just sending her healing and she was asleep. And I felt the spirit presence move into the room. And I thought to myself, wow, I wonder who that is. And my mom from her sound sleep said, I don't know who that is. And she never woke up.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so cool. And did you just feel like they were there assisting? Did they want to guide you in some way at that point?
I think they were there assisting and they would just let me know when she needed me. For instance, I would be sleeping soundly and I would wake up and I would just know that she needed me. So I would get up and go in a room and sure enough, she needed help. Getting somewhere or getting something. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. And I guess, you know, over that time period, it becomes probably pretty hard to continue to dismiss things and, you know, think, oh, maybe this is just a coincidence. I think that's what we go through, right? Is like, right. Oh, my mind's making this up. Oh, this is a coincidence. Oh, you know, all the things. So they gave
yes.
you enough that it was like really got in there for you.
It gave me enough. I believe it also helped me help her make her transition in a more peaceful way than it would have been if not.
Well, and what a blessing that you were able to be there with her because I think just the physical presence of someone that we love, you know, being with us in that time period is probably really comforting and makes it a little bit easier.
We did everything that she wanted to do. We watched all of her favorite movies. She was a Nintendo champ. She loved to play video games. We played all.
I'm surprised, but having met your mom a few times.
Video games. And believe it or not, when she was still able to walk, they have this in the mountain town that she lived in, this beautiful metaphysical store called Lady of the Lake. And we went in there and she picked up a deck of Native American oracle cards.
Okay.
And so we come home and she got the oracle cards out and we did readings for each other. It was amazing. Yeah.
And what a beautiful, like, just as her daughter in that situation, to be able to support that to where she's going from this totally fear-based understanding to being completely comfortable and open and playing with cards. And
and I didn't even think about that at the time. I just remember that she had gotten this Native American deck because she said the deck card deck looked like a work of art. And so that's why she chose them. So yeah.
That's so cool. And the other thing is your mom's always so strongly around with you. So now you even more get the validation.
Yeah.
From that side, I'm sure.
I get a lot of messages of like, I was wrong. I was wrong.
I think that's not the most uncommon thing. Your mom does it with such like flavor and sass and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
She was that way in life and in spirit. Yeah.
Such a strong lady. I mean, and I just remember her being such a hard worker too, in the way she comes through and really wanting to, you know, give everything for her family and, you know, not needing a lot for herself. So she was an incredible soul, still is, but with us in a different way.
And she really loves you. I mean, she comes through with you a lot and you have done such a beautiful job giving her messages.
Always
all the time.
And a privilege always getting to Thank work you. With you and with her. And the other thing is, it's how cool is it as like a next step to that transition of her going from fear to like fun with it, that now she's from the other side, particularly when you, when we've been in development together or practicing, she's right there. Like, like, let me tell you something about Carol Ann.
Yeah, she really is. Yep.
That's so cool that she's getting to really express her communication, even still from the other side. It's one of the reasons I think I'll never get tired of mediumship. Such an incredible experience, communication, you know.
Such a privilege.
Yeah. Do you feel like your relationship is just as close with her now that she's on the other side as it was, you know, when you were going through all of your times here?
I think so. And I think in a lot of ways, I think it's closer.
Yeah.
Because there's not that. Sometimes with mothers and daughters, it can get a little complicated.
To preach, girl. Totally. Seriously.
So, but there's not that. When your people are in spirit, it's not that way anymore. And, but what's interesting, and I have talked to her about this, is that when she does come through now to me directly, it's because somebody else in the family needs something.
Interesting. She's like ringing you up from the spirit world, like, hello, phone a friend. Oh, that's so funny. You bring up such a good point, though, because so often in this work, I think people that maybe are, you know, less educated about, I used to be totally uneducated about it, but would think their loved ones might come through and communicate with like judgment or anger or not having that perspective shift or that higher perspective that they do now. So I think your mom's such a perfect example of that.
She really is. And as I have learned, mediumship only happens in the element of love.
Totally.
And so, I mean, we do have communicators that come through that express regret and sorry and make apologies, and that's appropriate. But mostly it's just to share love and memories of their time with people.
Yeah, totally. And sometimes it's needing to validate the challenges that they had in the life or the relationships or, and like you said, you know, trauma can be healed. And sometimes just the admission or the validation of this did happen and I'm sorry is such a unburdening, right?
It is. And I didn't, and sometimes I've often hear things like, I didn't realize that they knew that they hurt me so deeply.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that could be so powerful. And I know that you and I agree that really all of the work, all of the mediumship and psychic work and all of it's for healing and
yes,
many levels, right? Our relationships, healing within ourselves, being able to release the past. I love that you infuse your work as a therapist in with these theories. How did you come to that part of your journey? Because it's different than mediumship, but in a lot of ways, I find so many similarities.
I think so too. And it's really interesting because when I did find I was kind of self-taught medium for several years. And then I just got to this place where I needed a teacher. And at the same time that I found my mentor teacher that I would be with for several years and kind of still am with him, I also started my counseling journey as well. I went back to school, got my degree at the same time I was deep in study. So I was doing both things at the same time. I don't know why I decided to do that, but I do know that it was directed. It was spirit led that I do it. So I've been doing both. And
incredible. That's a lot.
It is a lot, but I think for me, it was totally appropriate.
Well, I feel like they go hand in hand too, because I know I've known many people who, when they're training to be a therapist or, you know, psychiatrist, whatever level they're at, so much introspection and personal development's happening, which is the same truth as when we're developing mediumship. It's
right.
I think it's something that's like kind of a misconception that it's all about, you know, oh, all the fun of it, but really it's a lot of self excavation. Is that a good way to say it?
I think that's a great way to say it, because if you're not addressing those things in your own life, then that's going to get in the way.
Yeah.
It's going to get in. Yeah.
It makes it make sense to do these two together. If you're going to be excavating, like, let's learn two things at once. You know what I mean?
If you're going to be excavating, you might as well have the tools to deal with what you're excavating.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, that's two ways, right?
That's right.
And I do think sometimes I find this for myself too, that when things are more, like you said, spirit led, I am almost like three or four steps down the path before I'm like, wait a minute, what did we sign up for? Like, what do we, what ticket is this? Where are we
yes, exactly. Yep. What am I doing here?
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, I signed up for this class, I guess. Like, I guess this is what's happening, you know?
And then you get to another point and you're at that, and then you're going along with that. And then something else happens and it puts you on a different path, or it adds to what you're already doing.
Totally.
And so spirit is always working with us to take the next step and the next step and the next step.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that I have found, I mean, obviously mediums are all different. We're all individual people, but one of the beautiful through threads that I see and feel with all the mediums I know, you know, and you're no exception, you totally fit this. We have these servant hearts. Do you know what I
yes.
mean? Where it's like, we really just want to help people in any way we can with whatever we may have or be able to do. And I think that's makes perfect sense to me, you as a therapist and a medium.
One of the things I think is really interesting is that, and I think this is a big churn for me in my own life over the last 4 to 5 years, is at one point I wanted to like protect myself from either what I was feeling from spirit or from my sitter to, and then not. So I think what I've realized is that in order to blend, you have to allow yourself to feel whatever you want to feel.
Yeah.
And I hear a lot of therapists say, I don't know how to protect my energy. And I'm like, okay, you can't, because there isn't anything that you need to protect it from. And also, in order for you to be really super effective at what you're doing, you have to feel everything.
I totally agree. That's really profound. And I get asked a lot about protection and all of that too. And similar to you, I had a different background in training, more the Berkeley psychic vein of training, which is a lot of fear-based protection. And right. I would find myself like forgetting to do my quote unquote energetic setup and protection and stuff. And I'd be halfway into a reading and I'd be like, ah, crap, I guess I could do it without it. So then eventually just realized, oh, okay, there's nothing. This is all in love. There's nothing to protect from. You could certainly like reground yourself afterwards or something if you wanted to kind of change your energy field or just let go. Just any work, I would suggest doing that. Like, you know, kind of let go of the things from your workday and clear out your auric field, your bubble, flush out your bubble, and go to the next phase of your day.
I think that's a great idea. And, you know, I try to do that too, even in my daily work. I have a little container I put stuff in and I'm like, okay, I'm done for the day. I got to put it down. Totally. And then otherwise it just gets to be a lot to carry no matter what you're doing, whether that's mediumship or working down
anything.
The street.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
The way I sometimes say it to people who are maybe a little more muggle or not as like in the toes in the spiritual water is like, you got to take off your construction boss hat and put on your home dad hat or, you know, whatever
yeah.
it is. It's different part. We all have to express different parts of our personality as we go through day to day.
Yeah. Some of them more than others.
Totally. I do want to ask you, I know that you have such a beautiful and powerful relationship with angels and archangels. I would love it if you would share a little bit about how that came into your awareness and your practices now with angels.
I didn't really know about angels or archangels or anything. I just know that I would have like a daily prayer that I would say that sounded something like, Dear God, guides and angels. And that's the way that I would start my day or my practice, no matter what it was I was doing. But when I get into healing work, it became more important for me to be connected to the divine and my own understanding of that. And when I started doing Reiki on other people, I would ask for the divine and the angels to come in. And as I was doing that work, I had a very amazing experience where the angels actually did show up. And I had an objective visual experience of the archangels as I was healing, doing healing work. And so then for me, then it would became, which is very much of my life. I have to experience it first and then I go searching for more information.
Yep.
And so the same is true with angels. So I did have one other instance of, I was like in my kitchen and I thought, do angels really exist? And I had like the feeling of feather wing going across my face, but I never really had the experience like I had with when I was in a healing room and I had that experience with the angels. And so that set me on a whole journey of learning about the archangels and the angels and our guides and who's out there and how do we connect and all the questions.
All the things. When you did, so for those that don't know, objectively psychically seeing something just means we see it outside of ourselves, like you, like I see my kitchen table right now, like yes. You see a chair in the room. How did that appear in your perspective and your perception? Was it in a color? Was it light? Was it a figure?
It was, for me, it was like they were standing next to me and I was seeing them out of my peripheral vision and I could feel their enormous height and I could see, I wasn't sure exactly who was there, but I felt like Archangel Raphael was there. He's the healer. Yeah. And Archangel Michael is the incredible protector and all things strength and power. And so I felt like I had both of them in the room with me and also my client's father, which was another huge turning point for me.
Wow.
So that was just one of those moments where I was like, okay, I might be on to something here. Or spirit might be onto something here. Yeah.
You took it much better than me. I was like, what is happening over here?
That was a moment when I said, I need a teacher. I don't know what I'm doing here.
I was like, hold on. Do I have this? Do I want this? What is this?
Yeah.
That's funny. It's always so interesting to me. And one of the reasons I love having these conversations to see the similarities and the differences in the way that we come into our gifts, experience them, all the things. So I love it.
You know, and it's still changing.
Yeah.
Right? That's a lifetime thing. Right.
Yeah. And it is, I think it's so profound to share with people because for me, I know in the earlier parts of my journey and before when I didn't understand any of this, I think I was just confused because of the wording we use and the way things are talked about. And I was already doing certain things and I just had a different understanding of what it was. Cause when someone would say, well, you're psychic, and I would be like, I don't know about that because I see it in the movies and that is not what's happening over here. Do you know what I mean? And so just explaining that it's the subtlety of the presence next to you and it's not going to be necessarily like, you know, a bear hugging you. You know what I mean? It's very gentle.
It can be very gentle. I think when I was actually just beginning, it was a lot more visceral. I mean, you could feel more, see more. But as we have learned, the more longer you do this, the less energy spirit has to put out to get your attention. And so it becomes more subtle and more subtle and more subtle.
That's a great point. That was a big misconception for me too, as I thought, oh, just like most things, you think, oh, when I train, things will get stronger. And it's we get stronger in our understanding, but the sensations get subtler.
And we're laughing because we know that's not the truth. That's why we're laughing.
Exactly. So it is a funny thing. I also want to make sure that we talk about all of your works as a writer, because I think this is another huge part of your spiritual and healing expression, even though I know a lot of your work is fiction. And I'm dying to hear more about it.
Well, I started writing, and I think I actually started writing as another area to heal. And then I found out that I just love to write. So I started writing and it's mostly nonfiction. Okay. But then a story came to me. And so I have several articles and anthologies with other writers. We share.
Yes, we are publishing a book together.
We are The Last Breath. Yep. And that's a mediumship book. And that was a lot of fun. But I had a story in mind, and it was a fiction book, and it took me like 5 years to publish it. It's Three Full Moons is the name of the book. And I felt like I had a lot of help with that book. it was like a movie playing in my head as I wrote it.
Wow.
It was a lot of fun too. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of hard work. And at some point in my life, I think I will be getting back to writing because I do have something that I've started, but I just haven't had time to be working with it right now.
Well, and I think that's an important point too, is setting the time aside when you have it. And of course our lives, you know, things happen and we get called away by other important things. And so just when you have a story in you, like you did, it doesn't necessarily mean like full stop to life and focus on the story. It's okay to let it rattle around in there a while.
It really is. And I think it's really interesting when you think about it, writing and mediumship have one thing that's very much in common. And that is channeling information from a different source and two, having to be completely vulnerable.
That's a good point. That is very true. I'm curious. So you kind of were experiencing the story or the inspiration for the story, and how long was that before you actually sat down to start writing? Is it three full moons? Is that what you said?
Yes, it's three full moons. I'm not really sure. I think the story kind of rattled around in there for probably about 6 months, but the actual publishing of it was a 5-year process.
Wow. So when you sat down to write, what's your process? I feel like so many people, I think anyone can do channeled writing. It's just mm-hmm. a matter of having the desire to do it and the enjoyment to do it. Do you have a specific process that you use when you sat down to write and bring this story through you?
I actually, my process is the same, whether it's a mediumship reading or writing or counseling.
I love it.
I always just start my day with being centered, going within and being blended with spirit like you would in a reading. And then I just sit down to write. I ask for help and there I go.
Yeah. That's so cool. Tell us just a little bit of the, obviously you can't tell us the whole story, but give us just the synopsis, the back of the book synopsis of the three full moons.
The heroine is, her name is Nanny High and she's Native American. And she's actually inspired by a real-life person called Nancy Ward, who was instrumental back in the day of trying to bring the tribes together during the Trail of Tears period of history. And I actually was inspired by her when I went to research my family tree. And I saw a name in our genealogy that I didn't recognize. And my family's from Oklahoma. So my great-grandparents have a history there with Oklahoma and the land rush and all that stuff. So I was doing some research on it, and I come across this amazing woman named Nancy Ward, who is Cherokee. But there is a term in Native American, I believe it is the Cherokees, called the beloved woman. And it is this revered spiritual center person for the tribe. And so in the story, the heroine finds out that she is this beloved woman, and she's like, no way, I'm not doing that. And then her story unfolds.
Wow. That sounds really amazing. Is it a solo edition? Is it a series at this point? When are we getting a series? No pressure, Carolyn.
One of my friends keeps asking me, and the second story is already playing out in my head. So at some point, I'm pretty sure I'm going to be writing it down. Yeah.
At some point, you're pretty sure. It's so funny. I think we all do that where it's like, yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to like explore this gift and I'm going to get to it. Oh, that's so exciting.
Thank you. Yeah, I would love to write. I would love to write the second in the series coming up for sure.
Where can we find the book?
You can find Three Full Moons on Amazon.
Okay, I'll put the link in the show notes for anyone who wants to check it out. I'm going to check it out. I'm excited about it.
Thank you.
And I do think it's important to understand for people that maybe don't, mediumship is also a creative art to an extent. So it's important to explore other realms of creativity that we have that want to come out, right?
Right. And it's that it's a expanding and opening up and being available for spirit to work and work with us in different ways. And using our creativity as just one way, whether that's painting, writing, drawing, counseling.
Do you have any advice for anyone who's wanting to write on their own, whether fiction or nonfiction?
You know, there's a lot of like, the Writer's Digest has a great, inexpensive way to get started writing. They have a lot of classes. They can put you together with writing groups. And that's another thing that I would recommend people do is number one, write. You have to write to be a writer. And don't think about it for a year like I did. And then find a writing group through like Meetup or somewhere like that. You can find writing groups and you can go and write, and that'll help you be accountable to write. Ooh, and get really good. Awesome feedback on your writing. And sometimes, but investigate your groups. You want a loving and kind group that's going to give you honest and kind feedback.
That's great advice. Yeah, we are sensitive souls and we take our criticism best with maybe like a little bit of honey, right?
That's it. That's it.
Oh, that's great. Are you also still offering mediumship readings?
I am doing readings. However, I don't have anything available for like months. I need some time to unwind and chill and zen and get back into my own self-care routine. So I'm taking a month off. So in about a month, I will have some open spots on my schedule.
Okay. Well, you heard it. If you are feeling called to get a reading, we'll put Carolyn's website in the show notes too, but make sure you book out because Carolyn's taking a little self-help and self-healing break, right? Which I'm proud of you for doing that. I know it can feel hard.
Well, it's really hard too when you love what you do. It's so easy to not take the time. But when you take the time, you realize, oh, wow, I really needed that.
Yeah, totally. And everyone needs it. So I love that you're practicing what you preach.
That's it.
I think it's great. Well, are you ready for the spirit speed round?
Sure.
My four fun and exciting questions. They're not too hard. They're all about you. Okay, so question one, share one thing that really shocked you or was unexpected about your gifts as a medium.
That I could do it.
Yeah, that's a great answer. I feel that one. If you got to spend a day in the spirit world, you got the full tour, you got to spend time with everyone you've ever known who's crossed over, and it's almost time to return to your life, and your guide tells you have 1 hour left and you can spend it with anyone who's on the other side, who do you choose and why?
Reverend Janet Nohovacek. Because I didn't get to spend very much time with her, and I love her to pieces. And she was always so incredibly excited for her students. Yeah. And an amazing person, an amazing teacher and mentor.
That's a great answer. I did not get the pleasure of knowing her, but I know she is well-loved and honored and respected within our community and beyond. So
yes.
Great answer. Even though we have spiritual gifts, we have very human lives. What is one quirky thing about you that people might be surprised to learn?
One what?
Quirky.
Like a quirky thing? That I love Marvel movies.
You do? I love that. There's some good movies. Let's just say that. So
yeah. Yeah. Oh, I love Marvels. Yeah.
I think there's a lot of things about you that I've been surprised to learn. So that's a good one. Leave us with a pearl of wisdom. What's one piece of advice you wish that you'd had early on in your understanding of your gifts?
If you think that you might be a medium or have spiritual gifts, don't wait one more second until you investigate in a safe, loving place.
That's great advice. That's great advice. And I do think we question ourselves so much. It's human nature. It's funny. When I started my trance mediumship development, I mean, I had a mentor that wanted me to do the course with her, and I had to get permission and this whole thing. And I was like, I don't even know if I belong in this class. And one of the first lectures that the teacher gave was, if you're here and you were even interested to talk about trance mediumship or even attend this class, you are like... Not everyone even wants to know about this. So if you're feeling pulled, probably you are.
Yes. So,
love that.
Yeah.
Well, I am so grateful for you being here with us today and sharing all about you. It's been an honor to get to know you a little bit more.
Well, thank you very much. And always a joy to be with you, Joy. And, you know, I just think you're amazing. You bring so much on behalf of all mediums to the world. And I appreciate you very much.
Well, you're very sweet. Thank you so much. I'm learning to take compliments. So I'm just going to say thank you so much. Well, thank you for sharing and shining your light.
Thank you.
Wow, what an incredible conversation. I am so grateful to Carol Ann Dickinson for being here with us today and sharing all about her journey. What an incredible journey to, you know, first experiencing mediumship gifts so early on, and then the military life, and then radio producing, writing, being a therapist, and a working medium. Carol Ann is just such an amazing soul. Be sure to check out all of her social media, which I'll have linked, of course, in the show notes for you, and The Three Full Moons, which is her fiction work. And again, she does have some nonfiction works as well. You can find everything at carolanndickinson.com. But again, I will link all of her website info, the book info, and all of her social media info in the show notes at the bottom. I'm so grateful to you for being here with us today. I hope you enjoyed this conversation. And I know that there are so many of you out there who have books inside of you just waiting to get out, whether it's the story of your life or the story of a loved one who's crossed over, or a fictional story that you're being inspired by the spirit world to create, or maybe it's an inspirational book that you're wanting to write. Whatever it is that is inside of you, maybe it's not a book at all, maybe it's a painting, maybe it's expressive dance, whatever your creative form is, I love that Carol Ann shared with us today about just expressing it, just getting in there and letting it flow. So I hope that you will look into her suggestions if you are one of our spirit squad that has a book inside of you. I know the world is waiting for your light and for everything that you have to offer as well. So big thank you to Carol Ann for being here with us today and sharing her light, and a big thank you to you as well. If you want to find me, you can check out my website, joyfulmedium.com, and I look forward to seeing you inside Spirit Speakeasy.